Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're in the final four segments of our session with Joseph Farrell, and as you can see, we're only scratching the surface, or the subsurface, depending on your point of view. You began to talk about a specific German agency, Joseph?
Yeah, Fremde Heere Ost, Foreign Armies East. This was the military intelligence organization of the German army in Eastern Europe and the Soviet bloc, and it was headed by a German general by the name of Reinhard Gehlen. All right. Now, toward the end of the war, General Gehlen approached the Americans, at first through the American General Siebert, and then later in direct contact with Alan Dulles, who later, of course, becomes one of the directors of the CIA during the post-war period. Now, Gehlen struck a deal with the Americans, and you literally have to read this deal to believe it, but it's true. Basically, the deal was that Gehlen's organization would remain completely intact after the war, and his agents would remain in place in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. Now, we're talking about a military intelligence organization at that time with some 4,000 agents in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. Now, this organization would remain intact. It would work for the Americans as the American human on-the-ground intelligence presence in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. But the operational day-to-day control of that organization would remain in General Gehlen's hands after the war. Ultimately, this organization becomes, when West Germany's sovereignty is granted and recognized by the Western Allies, this organization then becomes the German Bundesnachrichtendienst, their version of the CIA, which incidentally is still around today. So in other words, the foundation of the modern German version of the CIA is Nazi in origin. And more importantly, the American intelligence presence inside the Soviet Union after the war, up until the point of the grant of West German sovereignty, from 1947, with the creation of the CIA and the National Security Act, up until 1954 or 55, the CIA's Soviet desk is really nothing but a front for this Nazi intelligence organization. Now, this is huge because this means that President Truman's intelligence briefing on Soviet military capability and intentions is coming directly from a Nazi intelligence organization, to the extent that in some cases all the CIA did was to retype verbatim General Gehlen's assessment and analysis and simply put it on the CIA letterhead and pass it on to President Truman. So in other words, a bunch of Nazis are telling us what Soviet intentions and capabilities are. And in that process, they are creating and feeding Cold War fears. That's absolutely crucial. They are literally the Nazi Trojan horse inside of the post-war American military intelligence complex.
I think that is huge.
And it's so huge.
When I saw your documentation on that, it all of a sudden it rang these big Nazi bell clangs in my head.
Yeah, it's a huge story. When you stop and think about it, this means that there's a huge Nazi Trojan horse inside of American intelligence. Then you've got the post-war deals between the Nazis and the Western bankers. You've got the Nazi penetration into the U.S. Army and U.S. Navy and eventually NASA, you know, building the missiles and building the rockets. You know, it's fundamentally a huge story. If we wonder why America looks fascist today, my response would be is because we made the deal with the fascist devil at the end of World War II.
Oh, you say looks fascist in what respect? Let's be specific.
Well, I think, you know, this idea of a snitch state culture, we've got increasing surveillance, curtailing of our civil liberties, we've got, you know, this National Defense Authorization Act, which, you know, basically allows you to draw up a Gestapo death list. So I think, you know.
With 10,000 drones being bought by police forces around the country.
Yeah, you know, it's Stukas without pilots, you know. So, you know, I think you look at the tendencies in our culture that we see going on now, and from my point of view, you go back to the deals that were struck at the end of World War II with this fascist devil, and I think that's the reason in part that you're seeing the transformation of America that you're seeing.
So if we look at this and assume it's happening, how long does it take to get there?
To get where? I'm not understanding.
Well, all right, assuming we're going to move towards some kind of fascist state.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're assuming we're there already, or do we assume we've made a certain degree of progress, and if not stopped,
it's going to go all the way? I think definitely we have to admit that there's been made a certain degree of progress. I mean, my word.
The Rubicon is way behind us on Election Day here, 2012.
Well, yeah, I think the Rubicon, again, I go back to this deal with Galen and the whole Operation Paperclip mentality, that the end of defeating communism justified the means of bringing over, you know, clear Nazis. You cannot look at people like Arthur Rudolph or Werner von Braun, who clearly knew of and exploited the slave labor that at Nordhausen and the Mittelwerk in building their rockets, and bring these kinds of people, or for that matter, Hubertus Strughold. I mean, my God, here was a man that was involved in the actual medical experiments on human beings that are just barbaric, and doing so as the basis for the Nazi foundations for space medicine. And this character is brought over to this country to continue the same sort of development of medicine, so-called medicine, for our space program. So we're bringing over these unreconstructed Nazis into this country. We're striking deals with Nazi generals and intelligence officers. I mean, my God, this is bound to have an effect on the bureaucratic culture of the American agencies involved in these projects. And ultimately, I think that effect on the bureaucratic culture is going to bleed over into public society.
Oh, let me ask you a question,
sure,
then.
Sure.
And for our listeners' benefit, we're recording this show on Tuesday, November 6th, Election Day.
Right.
Everyone out there, we hope, depending on how things turn out, will know whether we have a President Obama for one more term or a President Romney.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So knowing that we don't have the answer when we do this episode, do you think it matters who becomes president, or are they all subject to control by the industrial complex, by the fascist bureaucrats?
I got the question. I'll be very, very blunt. I do not like talking about politics in interviews. However, that said, I have made it very, very clear in any number of blogs on my website that I'm basically bipartisan. In other words, I loathe dummy crooks and Republican thugs equally. I think the system is so corrupted by these so-called two political parties and the monopoly they have on the American electoral process and their cronies in the media, and that they are so beholden to corrupt corporate capitalism, that I have not participated in any American election since 1988. And for very clear reasons in that election of the corruption of the Bush family and their relationship during the war and prior to the war to industrialists inside of Germany that were major backers of Adolf Hitler. So, you know, from my point of view, personally, I look at both of these men as sock puppets for that financial oligarchy, for that military-industrial complex, and a pox on both of their houses, as far as I'm concerned.
Don't go anywhere, neighbors. We've got so much to talk about, not a lot of time, but stay tuned. We have Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey,
hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're talking to Joseph Farrell. We've been covering the influence of Nazi scientists, fascist influences, how it's affecting our society. Now, when President Eisenhower, at the end of his two terms, warned of the rise of the military-industrial complex, was he talking about this?
That's a great question. I think, Gene, to some extent, he is. I truly do, and I've indicated
Joseph,
that.
Let me interrupt here. Sure. There was a certain couple of words that were taken out of that statement before he made it, And it was the undue influence of the military, industrial, and political was stricken from his speech, if memory serves me correct.
Well, that I didn't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. I think Eisenhower is in the position to know of the vast extent of this Nazi penetration and the cultural influence within those bureaucracies that it had. And coming from the man who had to fight the Nazi war machine, I mean, the embodiment of a military-industrial complex in a company like IG Farben, you know, which accounted for most of the industrial output that made the Nazi war machine juggernaut possible. I think these words of his are very measured, and I do think that he had definitely in mind something like this post-war American Nazi paperclip detente. I think he had something in mind like this post-war Nazi international extraterritorial state.
I wanted to ask you another question, too.
Uh-huh.
All right. Is it possible that the military-industrial complex got rid of President Kennedy because he went against them and was going to pull our troops out of Vietnam?
Oh, yes. I wrote a book that gets overlooked in my output called LBJ and the Conspiracy to Kill Kennedy.
So we got the answer there. LBJ did it.
Well, not completely. The subtitle of the book is A Coalescence of Interests, and I spend some time in that book pointing out the Nazi connections, because this is an aspect of the assassination that most other assassination researchers do not want to talk about, and it's there. So did Kennedy challenge these power bases of what Professor Peter Dale Scott calls the deep politics, the parapolitical structure in this country? And I think the answer has to be definitely yes, he did. And that's why it's so baffling to people to look at the Kennedy assassination, because you do have present within it connections to the mafia, connections to the intelligence community, connections to high finance, connections to, you know, international drug trade and arms trafficking, and on it goes. And it is a coalescence of interest because he's challenging the deep political structure of the post-war world and all of these deals with the former Axis elites that entailed.
So therefore you would say, who killed Kennedy? All of the above?
All of the above, yeah.
Would the same thing be true for Bobby Kennedy?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
When you talk about all these conspiracies and such, how the heck do you prove it? I mean, I remember back in the late 60s seeing lectures by a former New York State Assemblyman, Mark Lane, who wrote the book Rush to Judgment. And he shows you all the factual discrepancies.
Right.
And then, of course, we have the Oliver Stone movie and all the other stuff. So how do you prove it?
Well, proof is a difficult word. I think we have to talk in terms of persuasion. If you're looking for absolute proof in any venture, you're never going to find it. The only time you're going to find it is within mathematics, you know, given this assumption, then reason from certain formally explicit propositions to the conclusion. To expect that level of proof within this type of endeavor is to my mind, expecting the impossible. I think what you have to speak in terms of is persuasion. You have to get people to understand that the official versions of these events are mythologies, that they are far more riddled with holes than any so-called conspiracy theory. And the second thing, particularly with events like Kennedy, is we have to understand we're not dealing with a conspiracy in any typical sense. We are dealing rather with the deep parapolitical structure of an oligarchical system in the post-war world that resembles nothing better or nothing more analogous than that of medieval Venice. You're dealing with an oligarchy that has its fingers and tentacles in every aspect of the levers of power, and therefore you're dealing with something very different than conspiracy in the ordinary sense. But nonetheless, you're dealing with something vast and truly beyond most people's experience. So the difficulty is communicating all of this in adequate detail to make people question the official versions of events.
All right, so Joseph Farrell and some other authors question the official version of events. Has anyone tried to come after you as a result?
Let's put it this way. That's good.
All right. I'm sorry I made a joke. I didn't
understand. No. It's not a joke. Let's put it this way. I've had weird things happen to me. I can't honestly say that other than one incident a few years ago, I can't honestly say that anybody's coming after me. I've had one individual, fairly well known in this alternative research community, tell me privately to my face, and I'm not going to say who this individual is. It would be very readily recognizable to people. Tell me that the only reason I've been left alone is I came out of left field so far and so fast and so suddenly that, you know, they would have offed me otherwise. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I've had strange things happen. I have had my mail opened. I've had computer screens freeze and private chat with people about these topics. I've had an unusual circumstance where friends of mine in an ever-narrowing circle were being beaten up and so on and so forth, and it looked like it was coming toward me. But beyond that, I can't say that I have, you know, bullet holes in my windshield or cut brake lines.
Well, that brings me up to a question that our faithful forum poster, Gogsmacky, posted here. And this kind of puts you on, you know, a little bit on, I don't know, sort of on point here. Do you distance yourself from the work of Richard Hoagland now?
Yes,
I remember you guys often appeared on shows together, but the consensus seems to be these days that Hoagland is churning out stuff now with little regard to real data / truth.
Right. Well, yes, the answer to that is yes, I do distance myself from, yeah.
You mentioned before the Majestic 12 documents in passing, and it seemed that you accepted them as being real. Where do you come down on the Magic 12 documents?
Okay, it's cliffhanger time once again, all right? So we're going to have to pause for a moment before we get you the answer about the controversial MJ-12 documents. And by the way, if you want to reach us on the Paracast, write news@theparacast.com. Once again, write us news@theparacast.com. And, of course, it's many MJ-12 documents, not just one. We'll have those answers. We have Joseph Farrell joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
In more ways than one, it's going to be a November to remember. Going on now, and just in time for the holidays, Emergency Essentials offers a huge Mountain House sale only at BePrepared.com. All Mountain House cans are 20 to 32% off. For example, a can of Mountain House Chili Mac, regularly $25.49, is now only $17.24. Scrambled eggs with bacon, usually $31.89, now only $21.56. And save 26% on a 3-day emergency kit, or save $123 on a 1-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated foods. Gift shoppers, check out the Katadyn Vario water filter at 26% set off. Or get special pricing on the Gerber Suspension Multi-Tool and the Volcano Stove Collapsible Cooking Combo. For details, call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and emergency essentials low price guarantee. But hurry, the November to Remember sale ends November 30th. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.
Being an armed citizen means having a gun with you all the time. Carrying a firearm every day requires a holster that is both concealable and comfortable. Whether you choose our Super Tuck Deluxe or Mini Tuck, you'll have the confidence that comes from being discreetly and comfortably armed, prepared to face unforeseen dangers. Crossbreed holsters are handmade in the USA, come with a lifetime warranty, and a two-week try-it-free guarantee. Order your holster today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Joseph Farrell joining us again on the Paracast as we continue on, focusing on the controversial MJ-12 documents. Of course, we have the original one, the Eisenhower briefing document. How do you come down on this?
Well, there are so many of them, you know, as you say, to come down on all of them in one, you know, blanket endorsement or denial is not what I'm about. I subject beginning in Reich of the Black Sun and running through SS Brotherhood of the Bell and even on into a certain extent in Roswell and the Reich, I subject a number of the Magic 12 documents, particularly of the Cooper Campbell set, to a review. And with many of them, I'm kind of like Stanton Friedman, that I view them or put them in my gray basket. I think there's enough truth in many of them to suggest that even if they are intentional disinformation, in order to make disinformation work, you have to have enough solid information in a document in order for them to hook the intended target. And I think it's very clear that in many of these documents you do have enough of that sort of information that whoever's behind them is coming up with some pretty profound information. I referenced earlier in this program simply the fact that in some of these documents you have in the aftermath of the Roswell event, you have American military officials consulting German scientists, which to me seems rather odd if you're coming to the conclusion, the preliminary conclusion, that this is an extraterrestrial craft. And you have to understand that when I'm citing documents in that way, I'm doing so in the form of, well, let's assume for the sake of argument type of reasoning. I'm not reliant, and I want to stress this, I am not reliant upon an argument that says these documents are ipso facto real and authentic, and therefore basing my argument on them. I hope that's clear. I hope that you understand that.
That's why I brought the question up.
Yeah. As for Mr. Hoagland, without getting into details at one point we had intended to do a book, and nothing ever seemed to develop from that. There were a number of other disappointments I had, and I've simply had to part company because I, you know, what I do is research. It may be speculation, but at least I try to offer reason and to offer some sort of documentary or some sort of backing for things.
Now, on previous episodes of the Paracast, we've had some fascinating discussions about Hoagland and about Mike Barra. In the meantime, let's divert back to the subject of UFOs. Okay, so not all of them are necessarily Nazi-born secret weapons. Does that mean E.T. is there?
Well, it could mean any number of things. It could mean E.T.'s there. It could mean some sort of subterrestrials are there. We've got, you know, two-thirds of this world is ocean, and we haven't even been to ocean floors. It could mean any number of things. I think we have to be very, very cautious in ascribing origins to these things. We have to look at planetary geology. We have to entertain not only an extraterrestrial hypothesis, we might have to entertain a subterrestrial one. We might have to entertain an aquatic one. You know, there's lots of things we have to think about.
But the key here is that we don't just look for one answer. I mean, part of the problem in the UFO field these days is that so many people expect that it's E.T. and only E.T. And that's another question, too. If we have this secret agreement to bring fascism to the world's governments, and secret agreements about Nazi inventions, what about secret agreements that concern the origin of UFOs? Do we really know? Does someone know?
Well, that's an excellent question. In other words, do I think it possible that there's a certain degree of international cooperation about the phenomenon and what is publicly released and discussed? Absolutely, I do. I tend to be kind of like what you have suggested in the way you formulated that question. For me, I'm not philosophically opposed to the idea of extraterrestrials, but my experience with many, if not most people in the field of ufology is that for them, it's a religion. Everything is interpreted along an extraterrestrial hypothesis such that to challenge it is either to be ignored or to be, you know, considered something of a skeptic. And I'm neither of these things.
Oh, man, does that sound familiar, Gene?
Yes, it does have a ring to it.
Banging that drum for I don't know how long.
You have some more questions from our friend Gogsmacky.
Okay.
I do, and this goes back to one of my favorite books that you've written is The Cosmic War.
Okay.
And Gogsmacky asks, Joseph, I've heard you over the years talking about an interplanetary war that may have happened in our solar system in the past. He's yet to read The Cosmic War,
okay,
but he asked if you could elaborate on this particular view, and what is the source material for this claim?
Okay, the source material is very simple. You look at a lot of Mesopotamian texts, like the Epic of Ninurta, the Lugal-A, Atrahasis Epic. You look at certain Hurrian material. You look at certain Egyptian material, like the Edfu Temple texts, and so on and so forth. So in other words, the source is basically ancient texts from that region of the world, Egypt through Mesopotamia. But you'd also have to look at the Vedic texts like the Mahabharata or the Ramayana that talk about these wars of the gods. And again, even Greek mythology, you know, the wars of the Titans against the gods. You have cosmic war stories or mythologies, basically, from all over the world. Now, the interesting thing is that if you look at some of these texts, and I'm thinking in particular of the Enuma Elish from Mesopotamia, the Epic of Ninurta, and so on. If you look at some of these Babylonian or Sumerian texts, you're reading things that really defy classification as a mythology because they're so bland in some sense and boring. They're like reading newspaper accounts today. But at the same time, you have descriptions of physics in these things that, to my mind, can only indicate that you're dealing with texts that were handed down from a very, very high antiquity and a high civilization. Otherwise, they make no sense. And I review these texts in The Cosmic War, also in The Giza Death Star Destroyed. And what you end up with, looking at them a certain way, is you end up with an interplanetary war. You have a civilization with an interplanetary capability, and they end up, just like George Lucas's Star Wars movies, blowing up a planet right here in our solar system. Now, it's interesting because the 19th century astronomers that were looking for a planet in the asteroid belt were looking there in that region precisely because astronomical mathematical law said there should be a planet there. And when they began to find the asteroids in the early 19th century, they came to the conclusion, yeah, we found the planet, but it appears that this planet blew up, that it exploded. Now, the interesting thing is these astronomers called that planet Krypton. Okay.
Yes, the man who came from Krypton can change the course of mighty rivers. Ben Steele and his bear.
Right.
I am forgetting.
That's right. They called this planet Krypton. Now, in recent times, that exploded planet hypothesis was revived by the former U.S. Naval Observatory astronomer, the late Dr. Tom Van Flander. And what really interests me is that in his book, Dark Matter, Missing Comets, and New Planets, or something like that, I can never get that title straight, he comes up with several different models as to why a planet should suddenly and spontaneously explode.
Before our show explodes.
Uh-huh.
We have Joseph Farrell joining us with Gene and Chris for one more segment. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you're able to absorb amino acids and the less you're able to repair the 75 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easy to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So why should the mythical Krypton or
explode?
Explode? Why should it explode? Joseph Farrell is going to answer that question or attempt to answer it.
As I was saying before the break, the late Dr. Tom Van Flandern proposed several models. You know, he came up with a spontaneous nuclear fission model, you know, a natural nuclear reactor, and there are such things, that went supercritical and exploded. That, of course, being a scientist, he knows that a fission reaction of the magnitude to explode a planet is very, very unlikely for certain reasons bound up with the processes of nuclear fission. Well, then he comes up with the idea, okay, maybe somehow in the center of this planet there was a bunch of antimatter that was kept apart from the matter, and for some reason the containment broke down, and of course you had the total annihilation reaction, a lot of energy was released and the planet blew up. Well, again, you can kind of tell from the way he couches it, even the idea of a natural containment of that much antimatter is really stretching it. So Van Flandern himself, when you read his book, the really interesting thing is, having proposed all of these mechanisms, these natural models, he finally sort of, in my opinion, admits defeat and says, well, there's one final possibility we need to consider. And that is deliberate action. And that's his words. In other words, he doesn't want to come right out and say, somebody pressed a button, had a technology, and blew it up. Okay? That's what he doesn't want to talk about. And I suspect the reason why is if immediately, if you start talking like that, you're thinking George Lucas, you're thinking Star Wars, you're thinking it was done in a war. Well, in point of fact, if you look at some of these ancient epics, that's exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about that kind of technological sophistication, and they are talking about interplanetary wars. So in other words, put two and two together. You're talking about ancient myths, and you've got local celestial evidence that somebody blew up a planet right here in the solar system.
So that Marduk and Tiamat.
Marduk and Tiamat, precisely. So that basically is the cosmic war in a nutshell. And incidentally, I deliberately conceived in the whole arch of my books, I deliberately conceived of the book The Cosmic War as being the keystone in the arch that unites them all. So in other words, I regard that book as the centerpiece in the arch of all of the others.
Okay, so if this planet was blown up, did anyone survive?
I think he had.
We were rescued from Mars.
No, I think that's an excellent question. I think what you had is an interplanetary civilization that was based on this planet, possibly on the moon, Mars, some of the satellites of the gas giants, and so on. In the wake of that war, you had such devastation that I think you had surviving elites, particularly on this planet, that were left to pick up the pieces as best as they could and to preserve as much of that knowledge as they could. So, yeah, I think people survived. I think some of the survivors were here. There may be other survivors out there somewhere. I don't know. But I do think there were survivors.
Is that why you account for the ubiquity of these legends? And we can go back to Atlantis,
yeah.
Lemuria. We can go back to Richard Shaver and the Deros and Tiros.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I think it's the survivors. Let me go further, Gene. I'll explain what my model is. I think that you have essentially two elites. The elite surviving this war that was on the side of the vanquished, and the elite that survived this war that was on the side of the victors. And by necessity of the case, they had to make common cause. And one of the first things they had to figure out was, how do we preserve as much of the scientific knowledge that gave the possibility of this civilization? How do we preserve as much of that as possible? And my answer to that question is, they did so in the form of myth. And the reason why is, when you are looking at a collapse of a high, scientifically sophisticated culture, if you're looking at the collapse of the scientific jargon or language, then the type of language that next best approximates the ability to communicate advanced truths is the language of metaphysics. It's the language of religion. It's the language of mythology. And this is what they do. They create myths whose true scientific content can only begin to be appreciated when humanity once again begins to arrive at a certain plateau of scientific development, such that once it takes that scientific worldview and begins to look at those myths, it can begin to see that at least some of those myths contain a scientific truth. And therefore, it might be necessary, therefore, to look at all of those myths in that way. I think we are at that point in human history now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I couldn't agree more. I think that was eloquently stated. And again, I do urge our listeners to get up to speed. Joseph P. Farrell, I don't know how many books you've written now, Joe, at this point, but I recommend them all. The Cosmic War really opened my eyes. It was like taking a very kind of microscopic, sort of telescopic view that Sitchin came up with, and looking at it cross-culturally and saying, well, it's not only the Sumerians. It was the whole Mesopotamian, you know, the evolution of Mesopotamian cultures. It was Egypt. It was the Harappan cultures. You know, there's elements in South America and Mesoamerica. This is all really important stuff. I really recommend these books. And then, if you really want to get into the 20th century stuff, obviously your books on man-made UFOs, for lack of a better general term, I think are just highly recommended by this humble co-host here.
Okay, thank you,
Joseph. Let me ask you a brief question because we're about out of time. I know you've got a huge and rich library that I'm going to have to catch up on. This recent book, Saucers, Swastikas, and PSYOPs.
Uh-huh.
For those of our listeners who want more information, can you give them something about the direction that they could look into?
Yeah, you can get all of my books off of my web store, on my website, and the email or the address of that is www.GizaDeathStar.com. That's all one word and all lowercase. There's a web store there. They can get all my books by ordering right off the web store.
GizaDeathStar.com. And by the way, when you click on Joseph Farrell's name over at theparacast.com, magically, amazingly, it takes you to that site. And he's got a blog there, by the way, where he expresses his opinions about a lot of the things he's talked about here, like no confidence in this in Prem's S election.
Oh, boy.
All that stuff. So it's there, so that's it. Is it any wonder why America, A-M-U-R-I-K-A, is so screwed up? And we can go on and on for that kind of story. Now, if our listeners have questions that we couldn't answer here, they could write you at your site?
Yeah, there's a contact button on my site. The only thing I ask is that your listeners put all capitals in the subject header of the email, because I get tons of email. So if they want me to open them, that's my signal to do so.
Ah. The secret recipe is all caps.
The secret recipe is all caps.
And listeners, don't forget to tune in to forum.theparacast.com for the conversation that's definitely going to ensue about our episode here with Joseph P. Farrell.
Yes, that's going to be the aftermath, forum.theparacast.com.
Yeah.
And Chris, being one of the moderators, is going to have a good time. We invite you also, Joseph, and we'll tell you after the episode's over how you can participate and answer more questions from our listeners. Some have been posted even after we recorded this episode. By the way, you can find us if you go on Twitter. You can find us. We are known as The Paracast. We're The Paracast on Twitter. And Chris O'Brien has a site, too, and he'll tell you very briefly what he has to offer.
Our Strange Planet. I'll have an update on my trip down to Palenque with David Hatcher Childress, and onwards and upwards. You know, I think we're hopefully going to move into a new period of, change and transformation on the planet. I'm an optimist.
OurStrangePlanet.com is the place to go. Joseph Farrell, thank you for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.